The Buckeye Extra Podcast is brought to you by Rosati Windows, Central Ohio's number one replacement window company, and Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. Game day tastes better with Raising Cane's tailgates full of 24-hour marinated, hand-battered chicken fingers.
Now, the Buckeye Extra Podcast with Rob Aller, Bill Rabinowitz, and Joey Kaufman from the Columbus Dispatch.
Welcome to the Buckeye Extra Football Edition Podcast, post-Indiana game. Bill Rabinowitz, Joey Kaufman, I'm Rob Aller. We saw a dominating performance by the Buckeyes today, 52-1. They were so dominant that I gave them an extra point. 51-10.
They don't need any extra points. They scored plenty by themselves.
They did. I had it 38. My prediction was 38-9, so I was close.
Wrong.
What'd you have? Do you remember?
14.
Well, you were wrong. Joey?
41-24.
Really wrong.
I was much closer.
Oh, so this is close. What is this, like warm?
Yeah.
Cold?
We can't all be carrot top.
Oh, my gosh. Anyhow, what do you think of this stadium? I've never liked this stadium, but I guess it's growing on me. Memorial Stadium or Indiana Stadium. It goes by both names. It was weird from the plaque I saw.
They have to rename it J.K. Dobbins Field.
Talk about his performance. Talk about his performance, Bill.
It was a good one, Rob. You know, he gained 181 yards 2 years ago in his college debut, and he had 193 today, right? 193. He would have gone over 200 if they hadn't pulled him in the middle of third quarter. He looked, I mean, obviously the offensive line deserves a lot of the credit. They were getting 4 or 5 yards down the field before they were even getting hit. Both him and he and Master T. He had the 26 yarder before halftime. That was just incredible. I think there were six guys that could have tackled him, and he ran by him or around him or through him. He looked like a man that wanted to show that he's, as he said, one of the best running backs in the country, the best running back.
And Master T goes over 100. Yeah. He had like 10 yards of carry. 40-yard carry. 10.6. So they've got a nice little 1-2 punch there. And we have really not, Joe, we really haven't seen Justin Fields as a runner too much. They haven't needed it, but it's sort of like this wild card that they still have out there.
Well, the first two games of the season belonged to Justin Fields and his arm. And this game was really the running backs, I felt like. And you didn't see Justin Fields running the ball that much. I think he had 4 carries this game. They didn't have to. They didn't really need to do a whole lot to win this one other than have Justin Fields hand the ball off to J.K. Dobbins and hand the ball off to Master Teague in the third quarter. There wasn't much else he needed to do.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Coming into this season, at least I thought Justin Fields would be this dual threat guy who his legs actually and his running would be the thing that set him apart, not his passing. And it's been, I wouldn't say the opposite, but his passing, his accuracy and everything. And we really haven't seen the runner yet. I mean, other than that 50-yarder right in the opener, which he showed he's got some speed. But today, I think it's funny because we're judging him. It's so high, the expectation, that when he doesn't have a really good game, it's almost like he failed. I thought he played pretty well, but had some clunky moments.
With some of the running stuff, I view it almost as a load management thing. We see in the NBA where you have an 82-game season, and if Ohio State wants to win the national championship, they're going to have to play a 15-game season. So you don't need Justin Fields running the ball 12, 13, 14 times at Indiana in mid-September. You got to save his legs a little bit. So I think that's part of the calculation. I remember listening to Urban Meyer on the Fox show before the season started, and he said that he spoke to Ryan Day about this very same thing, and he said you have to get him through a season. So that is part of their calculation with Justin Fields, is you're not going to run him a ton of time in this situation.
It's working out perfectly, Bill. I mean, they haven't needed to run.
No, and the fact is today, for the first time, he looked like a passer who needs some work. I mean, his footwork was a little off. He missed some deep throws. He had Austin Mack in the end zone for an easy touchdown. He overthrew him. The next play, he did connect with, I think it was K.J. Hill. So, you know, it was one of these deals where he wasn't great, and Ohio State was so dominant in every other way, he didn't have to be great. And, you know, we haven't talked about the defense yet, and we'll do that after our first commercial break.
When Rosati Windows arrives at an in-home consultation, we always tell our customer that a house can't talk to you, but it typically will give you signs that something isn't right. A home's windows are particularly communicative. Although they don't last forever, a high-quality, well-maintained window could last for many, many years. One such as a Rosati window. However, at some point, they may not be at their best. So listen carefully to what they are telling you, and you will know that it's time to have them replaced. Are there drafts? Are they damaged or warped? Do they stick when you close or open them? If you answer yes to any of these, then maybe time to call Rosati Windows for an in-home consultation. Learn more at RosatiWindows.com.
And we're back. Yeah, the defense, again, was lights out. They gave up only one touchdown on a flea flicker, a pass, a lateral to the wide receiver, then threw to a wide-open tight end. Lumbered, I think the only word to describe that is lumbered in to the end zone.
Oh, my God.
But that was it. I mean, they didn't even really try to run the ball, Indiana. They knew it was pointless, and they didn't have their quarterback, Michael Penix.
Penix.
With an X.
Junior.
Who didn't play, which most people thought by the time today came that he wouldn't play. Peyton Ramsey threw for 300 yards last year, did not have any kind of success like that this year. Ohio State was just hounded him. Chase Young, but it was really everybody.
Indiana didn't even try. You mentioned they didn't try to run the ball. It was all Peyton Ramsey, which probably wasn't the situation they wanted to be in, even though he's a pretty capable backup guy and actually started for them last season.
I just thought, again, I mean, it's a dominating performance is what we saw. We're into nitpick mode. I do think that Fields, and Bill, you touched on it, I thought Fields as a pocket passer, which I would have never guessed this, he looks more comfortable as a pocket passer with his footwork. When he rolls out, he kind of keeps moving his feet instead of setting his feet. And I think it showed today a little bit, but I think that's easily fixable. I don't know. I mean, he may be so used to doing it. That said, he did have those two overthrows out of the pocket, right?
Yeah. I mean, we also, Ohio State fans, have gotten spoiled by last year. Dwayne Haskins was just always on the money, it seemed, with the deep throws. I mean, I think if we actually went back and watched, I'm sure he did miss some throws. But in our memory, he was always right on target. And, you know, it's going to take some time and chemistry for that stuff to happen. Timing is so much of it. But there were a couple of throws. If he just laid it up there a little higher and let the receivers run under it, they would have had a chance at it at least. But he certainly has chemistry with Chris Olave, you know. And Joey,
you wrote that story. What's the deal with those two?
Well, it's funny because the touchdown pass that he caught today against Indiana was almost identical to the one that he had against FAU, where both were snaps under center. And this, the one he had against Indiana was early second quarter. Fields has a snap under center, play action. Olave is on the right side of the field, one-on-one with the receiver, kind of makes a cut toward the outside, cuts then over the middle of the field. Fields lobs it over the field, hits him for a touchdown. It's almost identical to the one against FAU where Fields hits Olave. Olave's on the right side. He does the same kind of cut toward the sideline, then cuts over the middle.
There's a lot of cutting going on here.
Fields made the point that Olave kind of can sniff out where the right space is. He's not just an athletic guy, but he's a smart receiver as well and kind of knows where the space is going to be.
He had a big game. Right?
Three catches, 70 yards, 37-yard touchdown.
He blocked the punt, and I think I had punt. I hope I didn't say field goal.
No, you said punt.
Yeah, punt.
Punt?
Yeah.
For a safety.
Well, I'm saying it now, but in my story, I'm hoping that I had punt and not field goal.
That's the problem with print. You know, print is there forever.
There's no changing it.
You can't go around and smudge it out.
We're still ahead of deadline. I can always take a look.
7:30 on Saturday night.
Right,
two more hours before it goes to print.
Take a look at that. As the sun sets on beautiful Bloomington, it's not been the best day transitioning here just a bit for the Big Ten. We are sitting here now watching, we're watching Michigan State, Arizona State, which the Sparty just kicked a field goal. It looks like send it to overtime. They did. Illinois loses to Eastern Michigan. No. Right? Maryland, who everyone thought was legit, loses to Temple. I guess the point here is that it appears that Ohio State's road has even gotten easier, even though they don't play Illinois. But you know, Maryland, that was like, ooh, that could be a test.
Right.
Penn State struggles against Pitt. I mean, who else is there at this point?
Pitt's a team that's always going to play Utah. Pitt upset Clemson back in 16.
Yeah,
they're going to gear up and get some games. Penn State will be a 10-win team at the end of the year. Michigan and Wisconsin are going to be good. Michigan State will be fine. I think the Maryland hype train, we probably got a little ahead of ourselves there.
And Nebraska,
they might have run through the playbook the whole first 2 weeks of the season.
Maybe they did.
I mean,
the Big Ten has taken its lumps, but it's not the ACC. It's not right. The Pac-12.
Think about the ACC, what happened today with there.
Well, it's bad. I'm just saying the Big Ten, for the teams Ohio State has to play, the Maryland, I don't know. Anyhow, but the Buckeyes look really good. They look really, really good. Drew Chrisman, we barely mentioned his name in the past couple of years. He's been like a star of some of these games. Yeah. So
he did have a touchback today, though, however.
Oh.
By about a yard. I mean, it just kind of a yard passed. But you know, let's talk about the defense a little bit more because I think that they deserve it. I mean, you know, we've mentioned Chase Young. I thought Pete Werner, Indiana guy, played really well. Made a tackle. It was a broken play, but still, he had to make a tough tackle on a third down play.
Damon Arnett.
Let's talk about that play.
No, 96 yard touchdown.
May have been kind of the poster child for the Buckeyes' defensive struggles last year, as much as anybody probably. If you're going to pick on one player, he almost went pro. He was talked out of it, I think, very, very wisely. And to his credit, he listened instead of getting stubborn and saying, I know best and I want to go to the NFL. It's been my dream. I'm going. He listened and came back. And Ryan Day said that he had to pass some classes academically to stay eligible.
Spring and summer.
Spring and summer. So I think he had dug himself quite the hole and got out of it. And he made a beautiful play. The end of the game was long over. It was the last touchdown. But he caught and made a nice interception and ran 96 yards, found his blockers, and you can only imagine how good he felt. And unfortunately, we can only imagine how good he felt either because they didn't make him available after the game. So we have to imagine that.
The thing that impresses me about this defense is how hard they seem to hit. This press box, for whatever reason, is a little lower, so I felt we had a little better vantage point today. But you could hear some of the hits almost and hear the pads a little bit. I mean, that's not a team that's easy to play. They're going to kind of beat you up. And we were score watching in the first quarter, and we were watching Cincinnati down 10-0 against Miami, Ohio. And
you start doing that comparison.
My point is that you start thinking poorly on Cincinnati. They eventually come back to win. But playing Ohio State is a team that's going to beat you up.
And as we just now, Michigan State, which the sound is off because we're doing the podcast, they had a made field goal called back. I think they might have had too many men on the field. And their kicker just missed. And Arizona State wins 10-7. And I'm sure thrilling game.
Martantonio.
He's not smiling, which is a shock.
Anyhow, there's my point. Michigan State, which was supposed to be, you don't know about Michigan State against the Buckeyes. I mean, one game, you don't know how things are going to play out. But it does show they're not a juggernaut with two Gs.
No. And Michigan State was, they were, I think, undefeated last year. They were in the midst of a turnaround season, and people thought they'd give Ohio State a game, and they didn't.
Right.
You know, now, so you look at Ohio State's schedule, Miami University, end up losing big, did you see? So
the Buckeyes will cover.
It depends on what the spread is, but, you know, they're not going to lose.
No. I mean,
there's like zero chance they lose.
Then they go to Nebraska.
Which, you know, you thought until they
Nebraska lost at Colorado. Colorado lost today. I mean, we can play this game. Colorado lost to
Air Force. Did they actually lose? They were losing at one point.
Well, they were losing. It looked bad. I thought they did lose, honestly, but we'll double check that. And after that, you've got Rutgers, Michigan State, Wisconsin home.
Yeah.
We've been down this road.
As of last week, they were going to play still five ranked teams left on their schedule.
Yeah, well.
But Michigan State's no longer going to be ranked. It's still a tough schedule. Wisconsin has suddenly looked like a really potential one. ESPN's new SP Plus rankings, Bill Connolly does those. Wisconsin was sixth behind Ohio State in those analytics. So,
yeah. Well,
maybe
I think this Buckeye team is better than last year's. I mean, you could say duh, but it's a lot of the same talent. It's got a new quarterback, and yet I just think top to bottom, they're better. Do you agree, Bill?
They have a defense this year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really as simple as that. They it's half the game, you know, whatever. And it's they play like they play angry. They play together. They're in sync, and they have talent. I mean, one of the benefits of having a year like last year is you don't have guys in mass go pro. Mm-hmm. You lost Draymond Jones. You need to lose Nick Bosa. But some of these other guys that might have considered it didn't go pro. And you know, Chase Young is obviously a junior. He couldn't have, but he's a high first round draft pick. And Jeff Okuda is playing like a first round draft pick. And guys like Arnett and Pete Werner have made a major step forward. Malik Harrison, we haven't talked about really at all, is an impact player. And they've done this without Jonathan Cooper. And Tyreek Smith today started, got a sack. He had a sack.
Did he have a sack today?
No, he didn't. Maybe not.
He didn't record anything today, I don't think. He had a sack last week.
But he got hurt, or at least was
he hurt. He was, yes, street clothes on the second half.
That was kind of a big blow for them because it was just a couple of days ago, Ryan Day was talking about how they viewed him as the next guy up after the Bosa brothers and Chase Young. He was talking about him as a pass rusher where they viewed him as the next guy in that lineage of great top-end talent. And to see him then street clothes on the sideline, I think is kind of a bummer for him. But, I mean, they do have a ton of depth at that spot with Tyler Friday. And eventually it seems like Jonathan Cooper is going to come back sooner than later. He was apparently practicing maybe last week. He emerged with a helmet. So things are kind of trending seemingly in the right direction.
Before we move into our last segment, we're going to take a break from our sponsor. We'll be right back.
Hey, football fans. Leave the Hail Marys for the game and go for a sure thing when it comes to satisfying your craving. When you pick up Raising Cane's for game day, all you have to worry about is the score because we've got the food covered. With hand-battered, cooked to order, always fresh, never ever frozen chicken fingers, craveable cane sauce, and jugs of freshly made tea and lemonade. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. One love.
Okay, we're back. Ready to wrap it up here from Bloomington.
I think.
Joey, go ahead. You think. I hope you think.
I try to think.
Okay.
But I want to talk about this before we go. We've seen three Ohio State football games this year. We've seen them beat up on all three teams for the most part. What would you say is their most impressive win to you?
Some element of today against Indiana, just because they've struggled against the Hoosiers, quote, struggled. And Cincinnati. Cincinnati was – Fields played better against Cincinnati. So I guess I'd give the edge to Cincinnati overall, both sides of the ball. I think Indiana might be a better team than Cincinnati. Maybe they're fairly – I think they're probably in the same sentence anyhow.
I mean, Cincinnati's quarterback is better than at least Ramsey today. Again, I'm not blaming on Ramsey at all because it's hard to – as I wrote, it's hard to – pick a defense apart when you're picking yourself up off the turf.
So you would say UC.
Because I really did think that UC would come in there and give them a game.
Yeah.
And they didn't. And the thing that Indiana always gives Ohio State a game, and you kind of go, how's this team hanging in against Ohio State? They were just never in this game. It was
obvious.
It was from the first drive, Ohio State just moved the ball effortlessly. Right. I mean, they look like a team in midseason form right now.
And UC was never in the game either, honestly. So I would say UC was a little more impressive. Joey, what did you think?
I don't know the answer to my own question. That's why I asked you guys.
That's why he asked the dudes that have been around watching this.
But I would put this in the same weight class as Cincinnati.
Yeah,
I felt like
right.
These were Indiana and Cincinnati, two teams that could maybe threaten them at some point. Indiana, 2017, let Ohio State in the opener at halftime. And last year, it was single digits, I think, at halftime. I don't know, 28-20 at some point.
Indiana was ahead in the second quarter.
So I think that was a big reason why, if you look at our score predictions, a lot of us had Indiana scoring 20-something points because you figured, okay, Indiana.
One of us didn't.
Rob had 9 points. But
9 points.
The IU beat guy for the Indy Star had 38-28. Like I think the kind of prevailing wisdom going into this was that Indiana was going to get there as an offense.
Yeah.
To some degree.
I didn't see.
They didn't get theirs at all other than the double pass broken.
Right. I'm a believer in this defense. I mean, I've seen it.
Yeah.
It's night and day, 180, throw the cliche, opposite, however you want to call it. You got any more for me? Black and white.
Sky's the limit.
Sky's the limit.
I've talked myself in Indiana being the most impressive one. Because you get the factor on the road, the way Indiana's challenged them in the past.
Yeah.
They could have sleepwalked in this game. There was nobody in this stadium at kickoff when they did the national anthem and they had the great Indiana flag on the
field. There was nobody at the end either.
There was nobody in the beginning. There was nobody at the end. It reminded me of a game in just in Tucson you cover in September when it's 100 degrees and nobody wants to be in a football stadium.
The second half was a spring game.
Yeah, essentially.
So I think this one, the way Indiana challenged them with the pass game, this to me, I think, is another – both games have been great signs for the defense because you thought Cincinnati would challenge them on the ground. They call them a Big Ten team with the way they could run the ball, and Indiana's put up yards against the secondary. So Cincinnati felt like a challenge to the defensive line. This felt like a challenge to the secondary, and they both They both aced those tests.
Let's look ahead just real quickly. Miami gave for a while UC, they were up 10-0 on 10-0 and lost
35-13, I think.
Yeah, I think that's right. So it's a glorified practice next week, essentially, against the Red Hawks. What do you, if you're Ohio State, do you just button it up? Do you keep working on the running game?
I mean, there's no point in putting your players at risk. You win, 42-0 or whatever. You don't go crazy. I mean, you play very conservatively. You get Fields out of there. Get him, have him work on his footwork. Get right. him out of there. I mean, I know Ryan Day, if he's, I'm sure he wouldn't listen to this, but if he does,
don't sell him short.
Yeah. I mean, that's the coach.
We're must-listen podcast here.
Maybe he does.
Maybe he gets some good ideas from here.
Well, he should.
I think they've had good ones.
You just don't have injuries next week. I mean, let's face it, Miami is not going to challenge these guys.
Right. This is not a trap game.
This is
a trap door game for Miami. It's really what it is. I mean, see ya.
I think Urban Meyer's very first game was against Miami, and the 2012 team was not a very good team, and they went undefeated, especially at the beginning. They weren't a very good team.
And they all point to that Miami game, don't they, Bill?
No, they don't. I mean, even in that game, I think it was 42-10 or something like that. You know, it's like Meyer said, we knew that, our talent's just so much better.
Yeah.
So that's just what it's going to be.
I don't know if you try and work in younger guys. I don't know. They mentioned Garrett Wilson was a guy who had a great week of practice before Indiana. We didn't really see him do a whole lot. I don't know if that's a game where some of those players, maybe Zach
Harrison. I don't think you run Master Teague a lot more because Dobbins deserves to, get some yardage.
Right. And you want to keep their legs fresh.
Yeah, right.
Right. I mean, they're going to play their starters. It's just when the game gets lopsided in the second, third quarter, when do you pull them?
It's probably not that much different than this, though. I mean, they pulled Dobbins in the third quarter.
Right.
Okay, well, I mean, we've covered a lot of ground, not as much as J.K. Dobbins today. But
should we touch on the portal news? We got some portal news. Well, not really news, but...
What's the portal news?
Fun fact.
What's the fun fact?
The Jack Tuttle fun fact.
Oh, yeah, that was... You go ahead with that, Joey. Go ahead.
It's the gift that never keeps on...
I don't even know what he was... Honestly, I wasn't even sure what he was talking about when he was... why don't you fill us in?
Jack Tuttle is the third-string quarterback for Indiana, who is a big-time prospect out of Southern California.
There's the connection.
Always has to go back
to Southern California. Always has to go SoCal. Third string anything does not deserve to be talked about.
How did SC do today there, Joey?
Oh, yeah, how was SC?
They lost in overtime at BYU.
That's impressive.
Okay, well, there you go. So go to finish your Tuttle.
Jack Tuttle. He was a SoCal prospect, teammates with Chris Olave, and they recruited him out of high school a little bit, both Olave and Tuttle. Ohio State did. Tuttle went to Utah last year, entered the portal in October during his freshman year, and was transferring. And Ryan Day said they contacted him after he went in the portal last October about maybe coming to Ohio State, but they said the timing wasn't good and he ended up going to Indiana.
So he's not that great, what you're saying. He wasn't good enough to start. He was like their third string guy. What's the story? Fill us in.
Well, no, the Since story is that they discovered Olave because he was recruiting Tuttle originally.
The other story is they were talking to quarterbacks in the transfer portal in last October. So they were already worried about Haskins.
Oh, they were.
It's kind of more confident.
I mean, Urban said that. We talked about that. Urban said that about 3 weeks ago at this event I was at for the United Way, that in the middle of last season, Ryan Day came to him and said, Coach, we need to start looking at other options because we may lose Haskins. And they did, and, the rest is history, as they say. All right, we're going to get out of here. We got a long road trip. The big decision now is whether we go home through Cincinnati, around Cincinnati, or go up through Cincinnati.
I always learn it.
Yeah, and or through Indy. It's like, pick your poison there.
And I'm sure these listeners care very deeply about this decision.
If you're still listening, maybe you will. Tweet us. Tweet us. Send us something that says go which route we should take. Yeah, I looked on Google Maps. It's 5 minutes shorter to go through Indy, but that's stop-and-go traffic. I'm not a big fan of that.
Well, they'll probably be listening to this Sunday morning.
We'll already be
back. They're not going to know what we took.
You hope.
Yeah, we hope. Well, signing off from Bloomington. Adios. For Bill, for Joey, this is Robo. See ya.
The Buckeye Extra podcast is made possible by Rosati Windows, Central Ohio's number one replacement window company, and Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Be sure and subscribe to the Buckeye Extra podcast in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on Stitcher.